What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is January 21st, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. We've got to talk about the Colorado Rockies at some point. And really, the question you should be asking yourself is, should I care? Not really. I wish I had better things to tell you. I wish that the Colorado Rockies fans had something more exciting with this rotation. I will find some other pun instead of Cole Story Bro this year. Maybe I'll just keep doing that one. You know, I don't know. Regardless, no. Germán Márquez should be coming back this year. He only saw a handful of games last year. He's had some ups and downs trying to recover from 2022. And the long story is, even if Germán Márquez is healthy enough to replicate 2022 and get back to that level, it's still not good enough. I mean, that's it. His four-seamer is not of an effective pitch. When he was at his peak, and we're talking like 2019 peak or so, it was a slider and a curveball that were both doing well. Not really what we get anymore. So I wish I had better things to say. The sinker was introduced in 2022 and was helpful. I wouldn't say it was introduced, but it was really successful then, is what I should say. And maybe that sinker is good against right-handers again, but no. I should say, Cal Quantrill was the interesting one last year. For a moment, he deserved some success with that splitter location and usage of it, and he's a free agent, so you don't even got that. There's Ryan Feltner, who's had some moments where we thought, hey, maybe Ryan Feltner could be good, and everything just wasn't last year. The four-seamer that I thought could be interesting in the past, not really. It's somewhat flat. It's not really flat as far as the arm angle goes. He's at 94-95. Vert is always going to be lower because they throw in cores. It should be about 3 inches lower. Vert, so like if you see a 13, think 16, except that's only half of their games. So if I see 12.5 vert for Ryan Feltner, I'm going to really think it's like 14 and a half, something like that, 14, 14 and a half, which isn't exceptional, right? It's not like he's a 15 and then all of a sudden jumps up to be like a 17 or something with 6.4 extension. His best thing is a changeup against lefties. So 25% usage with decent ICR. Not even like really good at limiting hard contact, like 39%. Yeah. But good amount of whiffs there. And against lefties, yeah, it just did not really. Sorry, against righties, it didn't really come together. No, I wouldn't have any faith chasing Ryan Feltner. Kyle Freeland. Yeah, no. Like, Kyle Freeland, again, has moments. He's also able to go six innings at times. Against lefties, actually does a really good job limiting hard contact. It's a 27% ICR and a 29% ICR with a sinker and a slider combination there, respectively. Four-seamer, though, he throws 23% of the time, got crushed. We're talking 82% ICR last year. What? Oh my gosh. That was a 65% strike rate. It wasn't like he wasn't doing anything with it. My gosh. And the curveball, the curveball is a good pitch for what it is, a two-strike offering, because it does have high swing strike rates against both lefties and righties for Kyle Freeland, above 20%, 20% for righties, and 27% against lefties, but he only throws it really in two-strike counts. Half of them throw him with that, and he was actually overly efficient against lefties with it, with a 32% put-away rate that is not going to stick, and what do you know, he had a 17% overall strikeout rate. What I'm trying to say is, even when Kyle Freeland had a ludicrous or an outlier of a put-away rate that would suggest more strikeouts than he should with that curveball, Kyle Freeland still had just a 17% K rate. Now, I do recognize there are times when he's able to go six innings because of that lefty approach that is generally effective. And the sinker was a 37% ICR and a 35% on the four-seamer against right-handers. So there is something there about his command that is able to generate some outs. But man, is there nothing else? Don't test fate with this. Oh my gosh. Antonio Sensatella, Sensei. I want to call him Splinter, right? Splinter might actually work if he gets a ton of ground balls. I hope for him that he's healthy and has a proper season, because really it was just start and stop for a while. It looks like he's going to be okay and be in that rotation to start the year. But just like Márquez, what are we really hoping he gets back to? 94-95 four-seamers that are mediocre with a slider that has a poor swing strike rate. He tries to go down and away from right-handers with this four-seamer and slider, and they don't get whiffs. That's it. That's what he does. He does have a changeup against left-handers that's, bleh, you know, some show-me curves in there. There's nothing of value here, and he's going to get a lot of balls in play. And any pitcher that gets a lot of balls in play will generally have those moments where they are able to locate well enough that they get outs with those balls in play in a game. And there you go. There's 5-6 innings out of nowhere. Sure. That is not what you want to chase at all. So Splinter, a.k.a. Sensei, a.k.a. Sensatella, no thank you. Then there's Austin Gomber. Remember him on the Cardinals, traded in the Nolan Arenado deal to the Rockies, and you might have gotten Gombered a couple years ago in San Francisco on the road. You might want to take those chances randomly. Oh, this Colorado pitcher is on the road. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't believe in that. I think just being different than Colorado also affects them. It's just don't do it. Just don't do it. Anyway, when it comes to Austin Gomber, he has the most swing strike rate potential of any of these guys. Maybe Germán Márquez if the slider and curveball return, but 17% and 18% swing strike rates against lefties with the curve and change. And the right-handers have seen moments with the curve and slider be good. The changeup needs to be better than a 14% swing strike rate, and a 64% strike rate is just not enough. There's nothing here to really latch on to when he's throwing 90-mile-per-hour fastballs at this moment. So Austin Gomber, I don't have any interest there either. And that's the rotation. Yeah, so we do actually have some prospects and some guys on the fringe. And there actually is one or two that I can see outside of the prospects actually becoming a more regular Rockies pitcher and maybe have those rare gems on the road. And we'll talk about all of them after this break. Okay, so now that we're back, I do want to mention really quickly, we have PL Pro Lifetime open on the site right now. We are working on a lot of tools for this season and expanding what we do for PL Pro. We only open it at rare times. And if you're interested, go to pitchless.com/lifetime. You can get PL Pro or PL Plus as a one-time subscription, and then you have it for life. As you guys know, Pitchless is going to be around here for a long time. And if you want to get in and help us develop those things, that is the way to do it. So go check it out. Pitchless.com/lifetime. Consider getting PL Pro or PL Plus Lifetime. You will be a Pitcherless Hall of Famer. And we have more to say about what we are releasing this year. We'll have an article for it, I believe, next week, just kind of about the year in the review and what to expect moving forward. But we're really excited about the stuff that we are building. All right. There's this guy named Bradley Blaylock. You might not know him. He was traded midway through the season, and he's kind of your standard Rockies guy. He has a poor fastball with a slider that is decent at times. He has a splitter that he tries to throw against lefties. Maybe the splitter is better than a 50% strike rate against left-handers when he throws it so often. You gotta be better than a 50% strike rate, 25% usage. He also doesn't save it for two-strike counts, which is kind of interesting, too. So maybe that improves. Maybe the slider gets focused on more than the four-seamer, because the slider actually was a 25% ICR pitch in 38% usage against righties. So there is potential there. So maybe become a slider splitter arm with the rare fastball. Maybe that kind of works. But yeah, I don't really want that to... I don't want to bank on that. You know, the curveball maybe for Bradley Blaylock as well. Yeah. The best is like a deep league streaming option. That's the best I see there for Bradley Blaylock. You have Carl Kaufman, who I know you can make all the jokes you want about him pitching for Kansas City. Haha, I should be there instead of course. Absolutely. But Kaufman actually speaks more to what the Colorado Rockies need. If you're not going to be like the most elite stuff guy, then you have to be the most elite command guy. And that actually looks like what Kaufman is. I know that he didn't have all of those good starts at the end of the year, those high walk rate starts. But he throws 90 with a deep arsenal and actually has proper intent for everything that he does. So I wouldn't be surprised if Carl Kaufman becomes more of a regular starter for the Rockies starting this year, really, and then is just there constantly. They would sign him. Like, I think the Colorado Rockies as an organization are just trying to find the pitchers who are good enough to be major leaguers. and not really trying to secure like the top end guy. Just, hey, look, you're young and you want to have a career in this. You're not going to cost us a ton of money, all that kind of stuff. Let's just secure this. Let's move on. That's kind of what Kaufman is. And I wouldn't be surprised if, if the Rockies lean into this one. That does not mean that you should be chasing it whatsoever. Jake Woodford. Yes, the Amish Mustang has a non-roster invitation to spring training. So, won't be shocking because, hey, there's another guy for a depth piece, whatever. It's just give me some innings, please. But, yeah, you know that you do not want Jake Woodford. Jack O'Loughlin. I call him the Irish pumpkin. Jack O'Loughlin. Okay. Everyone's Irish. Okay. He's a non-roster invite to spring training as well, and we shouldn't really have any expectations. He throws 91 from the left side, and, yeah, he doesn't really have anything of interest. Yep, this is not really a guy that you should be focused on at all. But their prospects, oh, you might know some of them. So there's Chase DeLander. I mean, he's the number one prospect in the organization. He didn't pitch. He was drafted in 2023, then was in the Futures game last year in 2024. He has mid to upper 90s velocity, okay? Four-seamer, high 90s, high 80s slider, a change in curve. Second half of last year wasn't very good. It was more like fine than it was like, oh man, you're really an elite prospect kind of thing. And it gives me a sense that DeLander isn't going to be a guy that we really care about in his first step into the majors as a Rocky. Sure, it's totally possible that he breaks the mold and he's just good enough to have in your 12-team fantasy leagues. I hope so. But Coors is undefeated. It's like Ubaldo Jimenez in that one crazy year from Herman Marquez, and maybe some John Gray in there, maybe. But it's so rare for us to find a Colorado Rockies pitcher that actually is sustainable and good. Okay, Kyle Freeland, I'm so sorry. Didn't mean to throw any sort of Kyle Freeland disrespect out there. But maybe Chase DeLander is one of them. It's absolutely possible. I think this year in particular, if he does get that appearance, which would be later in the year, I think because of the decline in the second half last year, then you have Coors, you have the shag rug, which is the low floor of all young pitchers, mixed into that declining second half last year. So I would be very careful with DeLander. I think I need to see more data and more consistency to feel like, oh, you know what? It doesn't matter. He's just that good of a prospect. I don't feel like he's Paul Skeens. I think I'm not a minority for saying that. I wouldn't really circle Chase DeLander for this year. And honestly, he's just has such a tough situation here in Colorado that it's really tough for him to expect greatness from him. Carson Palmquist, someone you might remember from last year. I certainly do. And he's a lefty with elite extension. We're talking 7 to 7.5 feet of extension. The latter was with his changeup, as you typically should imagine. You do have a later release point generally with the changeup. And he has a good breaking ball. It's a big, slow, slurvy, like high 70s breaking ball with a 90 mile per hour fastball and changeup. And he does actually come in very flat. It's a low arm angle, so it's like a 1.5 height adjusted VAA. There are times that he gets those strikeouts with that fastball at 90 up in the zone, but he didn't look very good in AAA. Like, he actually did pretty well in AA and then moved up to AAA and was really bad for about 30 innings. Changeup wasn't good there. PLV hated it completely in those AAA starts because that's where we had all this data. I wouldn't think that you want this at all for fantasy. However, if he does rebound this year, the Rockies could be calling him up, and I wouldn't be surprised if he had some rare starts where things were just clicking and he was able to match that changeup well with that four-seamer against right-handers. That's really going to be the big thing. You're a lefty. Think of it kind of like Tyler Anderson has those moments, right? But then this is with really good extension. Really bad vert, though. That's actually the opposite of Tyler Anderson, who's more over the top. But you get the idea. There, you can see how this would work with another club. And it still would be, maybe. I don't know if I trust the command enough. So we'll see what the efficiency looks like for Palmquist early this year and when he gets his chance. Brody Brecht was drafted in 2024. And really shouldn't be expected to pitch in 2025, considering he hasn't pitched at all in the minors yet. They just shut him down. He throws really hard. He goes up to triple digits. His fastball command is the question here. The slider is very legit, and it's all about what the third option is there. Is it going to be kind of the splitter route, the splinker thing that Skeens does? It could very much be the same mold. It does seem like the slider is better than what Skeens has, but that's all they really have at the moment. And we don't really know for 2025. We know for 2025 he won't be here. 2026, we'll see. I'm curious to see what kind of data we get, if we get any, for 2025 on Brody Brecht. But yeah, should not be of interest for the year ahead. And the last one is Sean Sullivan. He is a lefty with ultra cross body mechanics, so he has super deception on this. And he throws 87, but absolutely destroyed guys in A-plus ball. With this 87-mile-per-hour fastball when he was in college at Wake Forest, he threw over 70% fastballs, and he brought it down to like 65% or so in AA and A-plus ball. But over his entire minor league season in 2024, Sean Sullivan had a 2.11 ERA, 125 strikeouts, and 113 innings, and a sub-4% walk rate. Now, it did get worse when he went to AA. This is including that. So that was a 20% K rate and a 5% walk rate. And you got to think at 87, sure, that works. It's more deceptive. It's weirder for a lot of guys in single A. They're trying to focus on other things. And like, that's just not, you know, on their radar, essentially. It's not going to be that easy when you're against major league talent. Maybe one time through the lineup, right? Eric Loggenhagen was really making the point of, yeah, third time through the line, there's no way this works, especially with such a focus on fastballs. So, yeah. I mean, then you throw in the whole Coors thing. I mean, the whole Coors thing is such a negative that you're just better off ignoring it. Just don't play with fire, okay? Don't tempt fate. Just ignore this. No one is that good of a talent that they are going to break the mold. And if they do, that's awesome. I'm so happy for them. And you're not going to feel like you're the one that lost their season because you just didn't take a chance on a Colorado Rockies pitcher. Oh boy. All right. I am getting very aggressive with these podcasts. If you haven't noticed, I have a lot of work to do as I prepare for my top 400 starting pitchers, which come out in mid-February. So I got to get these teams done. And remember, you can read everything that I've done so far of these podcasts. It's a much more thorough explanation for all these starters. And those will be the blurbs for the top 400. You can read all of that on the site if you have PL Pro. You can get the first pitcher just as an example for every team. But go check that out. It's in the PL Pro Hub. You can see in the menu, PL Pro Tools will be there. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.